Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, please take them out and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, I want to remind everyone that we are currently in a sermon series through the book of 1 Thessalonians that is called Hope and Holiness. Now, throughout this sermon series, we've talked about first how our true source of hope can only come from God alone, because God is the one who chose us for salvation and gave us forgiveness of our sins. Then we also talked about how there's a relationship between hope and holiness. Our true hope in Christ should lead us to not only have a motive to live in holiness, but also to have a conduct of holiness. And then last time, we talked about the importance of standing firm in our hope in Christ. Now why? Because standing firm in our hope in Christ is able to help us to then be able to walk, or in other words, to live in holiness. So in other words, we first need to learn how to stand firm in Christ first before we can learn how to walk in holiness. So last time, I remember talking about babies. You know, babies, they first need to learn how to stand first before they can learn how to walk. This past week, Joyce and I, we bought a new toy for Olive, and I think it's a little bit advanced for her, but it's sort of like a walker where she can be able to push, and I figured, oh, it's probably like last until like when she turns 3 years old or so. So I tried getting her to hold onto the rails and try to push forward, and then I let go for a little bit, but then her legs gave way and she fell down. And it was too advanced for her, and because she still hasn't learned how to walk, she hasn't learned how to stand. She needs to learn how to stand first before she can be able to walk. So here we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in the prior chapter, the Apostle Paul had instructed the Thessalonians about the importance of standing firm in their hope in Christ. Now, after ending that session, now here in chapter 4, we'll see that now Paul begins to instruct the Thessalonians about now how to walk, or in other words, how to live in holiness. For us today, if we are Christian believers, if we have a firm stance in our hope in Christ, then how should we as Christians walk? How should we as Christians walk in holiness or live in holiness? So we'll see from today's passage. So I hope you're here with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 12. Please follow along as I read. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians. Verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. Verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God who gives us his Holy Spirit to you. Verse 9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we come before you. We praise you for creating this day, this day that we can come before you again to serve you, to worship you, to learn from your word. Father, thank you that you've given us this true hope through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And this hope is what we have forever. Thank you that we're standing firm in it. But now, Lord, I ask that you would teach us how we can learn how to walk, how we can walk in holiness, how we can live in holiness so that we can please and glorify you all the days of our lives. Father, we pray that you teach us, Lord. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, so for today, in this passage that we have just read, we're going to be answering three main questions. Okay, so if you'd like to take notes, you can write these questions down. First question that we're going to ask is, what does it mean to walk in holiness? What does it mean to walk in holiness? And then we'll move on to our second question, which would be, how can we effectively walk in holiness? So this is the practical part. How can we effectively walk in holiness? And then finally, we'll move on to our third question, which is, what is the motivation behind walking in holiness? What is the motivation behind walking in holiness? So let's review those three questions. Number one, what does it mean to walk in holiness? Number two, how can we effectively walk in holiness? And then three, what is the motivation behind walking in holiness? So let's start from the beginning of this passage. Let's start with the first question again. What does it mean to walk in holiness? And I'll give you the answer to this one right away. So number one, what does it mean to walk in holiness? Walking in holiness is a lifelong process of living to please God. Again, walking in holiness is a lifelong process of living to please God. So we see this starting from verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul says here, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God." So to start this section off, Paul not only asks the Thessalonians to walk or live in holiness, but actually Paul urges them to walk and live a life of holiness. You know, there's a difference between asking someone to do something and to urge them to do something. You know, someone may say, "Oh, do you want to come and watch Toy Story 4 with me at the theaters?" No, you're just asking them. It's a suggestion. But then if you say, "No, I urge you, you must watch Toy Story 4 with me because it's such an emotional movie." Actually, I haven't watched it yet, but I know that it's a Pixar movie, so it's going to be good. So we know that urging someone to do something shows that it is important, shows that you know that you're urging them because you know what is best for them. So here, Paul and Silas, they urge the Thessalonians to continue to walk in holiness because this is what they had instructed to do for them to do in the past, and they know that it is best for them. So let's see how they have instructed them. Verse 1 again. "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you, as you have received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God." Also jump to verse 2. It says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." So they gave him instructions in the past about walking in holiness. And then even if you go back to chapter 2, verse 12, you know, they had already said, "We exhorted you, each one of you, and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So again, this walking in holiness involves the repenting of one's sin and living a life that is set apart from sinful behavior, set apart from sinful practices. Why? So that we can please God. In verse 1, how you ought to walk and to please God. But not only does Paul and Silas urge the Thessalonians to do so, but they know that they're doing it already, but they are also telling them to continue to do so. Read verse 1 again. "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." Here's the next part. "Just as you are doing," so they know that they're already doing it, "that you do so more and more." To do so more and more. So the Thessalonians, they were already doing well in walking in holiness and living to please God, but now Paul and Silas, they are encouraging them to continue to do it. Now this is why we said in our first point that walking in holiness is a lifelong process of living to please God. It's not merely an act where you walk in holiness just for a period of time, repent of sin, and you please God just whenever you feel like it. And then after a while, you're like, "Oh, I've walked enough for a while, and I'm going to stop, I'm going to take a break, and then let me return back to sin for a while." No, that's not what Paul and Silas are telling them to do. They're saying that this walking in holiness is a lifelong process. It's a continuous action. So in verse 1 again, "just as you are doing, that you do so more and more." They're encouraging them to continue on in walking in holiness. So the Thessalonians, they know that they have already have they're standing firm in their hope in Christ, and that will also help them walk in holiness. So in my hand here, I have a smartwatch that I got a couple of months ago, and I really like it. And it has this like exercise detection where like it knows like if, after you've been walking for a while, it'll say, keep going, you're doing a good job. Reach your step count to, I think I had it set to 6,000, which is actually pretty low since I don't really walk that much. But nevertheless, it knows that I am walking and it continues and it encourages me to keep going. It also has like a detection for like when I'm riding a bicycle. But actually, I found that when I'm in the mall and I'm pushing the stroller, it thinks that I'm riding a bicycle. But anyways, but there's still a notification there that encourages me, hey, you're doing well, keep going. Or same thing when we talk about Snapchat streaks. You know, when you have a streak of someone, you've been sending them snaps, and then like you see that little fire emoji next to their name, you know that, oh, you got a streak going, encouraging you to keep going on. But then once you see the other emoji, what was it, like the hourglass emoji, it shows that, oh, your streak is going to run out. So it also motivates you, you know, keep sending snaps to this person to keep up that streak. Or even like on your YouVersion, the Bible app on your phone, you know, there's the Bible streak, you know? It'll also send you notifications, hey, keep going. So there's so many things in our life that will tell us, to encourage us to keep going because we're doing a good job. You know, sometimes when we think it would be great if there was like a notification or there's an app on our phone that will tell us, hey, you're doing a good job in walking in holiness, in repenting of your sins. Continue to do so so that you could live a life to please God. Wouldn't it be great if there was something like that that can be able to help us and encourage us? Wouldn't it be great if, even if there wasn't an app, if there was a friend, if there was a close accountability partner that can be able to encourage us, hey, you're doing a good job, keep walking in holiness towards God. No, this is exactly what Paul and Silas were doing to the Thessalonians as they were writing this part of the letter. They're saying, Thessalonians, you guys are doing a good job in walking in holiness, and what did they say here? Just as you are doing, verse 1, that you do so more and more. So again, our first point, what does it mean to walk in holiness? Walking in holiness is a lifelong process of living to please God. So my encouragement for all of you today is that if you are walking in holiness, if you recognize the sin in your life and you ask God to help you, to forgive you and help you to repent of them, then I encourage you to continue to do so. Continue to walk in holiness. Examine yourself to see if there's anything that you need to repent of. Or maybe even intentionally seek other people to ask them to keep you accountable. Ask them to encourage you. Or maybe you should be the person to encourage someone else to walk, and not only just encourage them, not only just to ask them to continue to walk, but to really urge them. Remember, there is power when we're urging someone to do something because we know that it's important and we know what is in the best interest for them. So now that we understand and know, what does it mean to walk in holiness? So again, that is it's a lifelong process of living to please God. Now we want to know how. How can we effectively walk in holiness? What is the practical way for us to walk in holiness? So let's continue on. Read with me starting from verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So here, the will of God is sanctification. And really, like this can be translated to holiness. So in other words, the will of God in your life is holiness, because sanctification is actually the process. It's the process by which God is doing in your life to help you to repent of your sins so that you can reach the goal of holiness. So really, holiness is the end result. Holiness is the goal. So that's why we can really translate this as for like the will of God is your holiness. So this should actually give us hope in our walk with God. Because we know that if it is God's will for us to be holy, then we trust that God will be the one to be able to help us to overcome those trials, overcome those struggles, so that we can continue to do so. We can trust that God will be the one to provide us with the solution to effectively walk in holiness. So think about it this way. If we are walking in holiness, then we should also know that we are already standing firm with this hope in Christ, because of our trust in him. So then Paul goes on and he begins to describe a particular and prevalent struggle that the Thessalonians believers had in their society. Read verse 3 again. Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." So the Thessalonians, in their culture, in their time, they were struggling with sexual immorality. So sexual immorality, like the Greek word is porneia, which is where we get the word pornography from. But it seems to talk about any type of sexual activity that's outside of marriage. This includes adultery. This includes prostitution. This includes homosexuality. Includes rape. So because you have to understand that in this culture and time, the Greeks and the Gentiles, they had this culture of pagan worship, which involves a lot of these sexual and moral practices. So it was prevalent all around them. And as Christians, they were trying to walk in holiness and live a life that's pleasing God. But all around them were these distractions. All around them were these temptations to fall into sexual immorality. So this is why Paul and Silas, they had to address this prevalent struggle that they have. Now I want to ask each and every one of you, what is your struggle? What is your temptation? What is your sin that you feel is most prevalent in your life right now? That is most prevalent, that is hindering your walk in holiness to please God. It may be lust. It may be pornography. Maybe like always a sense of wanting to get revenge on someone who has wronged you. Maybe your anger. Maybe lying or pride. Or maybe depression because you're always feeling so lonely. Or maybe you're struggling with your own body image, not liking how you look. See, all these are trials and struggles that may be prevalent, but they hinder your walk in holiness towards God. They hinder your walk towards God. But I want to share that we all can have hope to overcome these struggles, these trials, and to keep walking. Because as we said, we have hope in Christ. God is the one who will provide us with that solution as we stand firm in hope in Him. So let's answer our second question. So how can we effectively walk in holiness? Here's the answer. Effectively walking in holiness requires self-control. Let me say that again. Effectively walking in holiness requires self-control. So this is a solution that God has given us. So let's see that as we read verse 4. Let's start reading from verse 3. Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality," verse 4, "that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." So here, Paul instructs the Thessalonians and instructs us that that it is our self-control of our bodies. This is what is necessary for us to overcome sin, to repent of sin and temptation, so that we can walk in holiness. And we're talking about the Gentiles, and in this context, we're referring to those who aren't believers in Christ. These people, they do not know God. And that's why they are able to give in to their own passions and give in to their own lusts. But you see, we are different. We, because we have our faith and we have our hope in Christ, we know God. We know that God has given us these natural desires that is in us. And if He gives us these natural desires, we know that He will be able to satisfy us with them. Say, for example, let's say that you are tempted with sexual sin. And what is your desire? Sex is that desire. And sex is not a bad desire. It's a good and natural desire that God has created you with. But you see, God doesn't want us to fulfill that desire of sex through sinful means. No, we can trust that God will provide us to fulfill those needs in the context of a marriage between a man and a woman. Or let's take for another example, let's say that someone has wronged you, someone has done something wrong to you, and you want to get revenge on them. Now, what is your desire? Your desire is justice. No, justice is a good desire to have, but we can't satisfy this desire for justice through sinful means and give into that. But rather, walking in holiness, we can trust that God will be the one to provide justice. No, God says that He's the one that will bring vengeance against the wicked. God is the one who will provide for our desires. So unlike the Gentiles, as Paul talks about here in verse 5, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. No, we shouldn't be like them because we do know God. Because, and through that, through trusting in God, through having self-control of our bodies, we can be able to overcome sin, overcome temptation, and continue to walk in holiness to please God. So again, question number two, how can we effectively walk in holiness? We said effectively walking in holiness requires self-control. Now, there once was this dog show that has basically a competition for dogs and their owners. So in this particular competition, dogs had to go through this course. It's just a straight course from one end to the other. It's just a flat place. And they're supposed to keep walking and running towards their owner, who is on the other side. Now, many of these dogs, they were able to do well in these courses, but despite the challenges that were presented in this course. Because even though on this course it's just a straight pathway, along the sides there's a lot of distractions for the dogs. You know, there's a bowl of doggy treats in one place, there's some squeaky toys in another area. So like you have all these toys and food lined up along the course. But many of these dogs in this competition, they do pretty well. They are able to ignore all of the temptations and distractions along the side, continue to walk and actually run throughout the course towards their owner, their master on the other end, and they're able to do well in this competition. But however, there was this one particular golden retriever that didn't really do too well. It was just like, oh, here's some doggy treats. Oh, look, there's a squeak toy. Squeak, squeak. Oh, and then he actually went backwards towards towards the toys and the food that he already went towards to. And also, you can tell he didn't really do well. He wasn't able to walk forward towards his master. He was distracted by the things on the side. He didn't have the self-control. So in our Christian walk, many of us may feel like we do have a lot of self-control in our bodies, and we are like those dogs that do well and ignore the doggy treats, ignore the toys on the side, and walk towards our master. But maybe there are some of us today who feel like we struggle with having self-control. You know, the temptations along the sidelines seem so great, and we want to give in to them, and it is hindering our walk of holiness towards God. So this is why, you know, Paul is instructing the Thessalonians that self-control of our bodies is so important in walking in holiness. And again, there is hope for us to do so because we know God. We aren't like the non-believers. We aren't like those who do not know God. We have this hope in Christ to be able to help us to overcome these temptations and to be able to provide us for the desires that God has created us with, and so that we don't have to be the one to go out and through sinful means to try to satisfy ourselves that way. In the next couple of verses, Paul gives particular reasons for us to have self-control of our bodies and to walk in holiness. Let's continue on, read verse 6. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. So here, one reason why we should be encouraged to have self-control of our bodies is because when we participate in sin and don't have self-control, our sin will actually affect and hurt our brothers and sisters, will affect other people. You know, there's a mindset where people are like, oh, if I can do whatever I want in my life as long as I don't hurt anyone or as long as I'm not affecting anyone. So that's sort of what our culture today is saying. But that is not true. Really, everything that you do, especially the sinful actions, does have an effect on other people, does have an effect on our friends and a family, especially negatively, and it can hurt them. So for the sake of not hurting our brothers and sisters, we can have self-control of our bodies. So you continue on. Let's read from the beginning of verse 6 again. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. The Lord is an avenger. So here we have scriptural proof that God should be one of the members of the Avengers. Imagine how Endgame would have been so different if God was actually a superhero in the Avengers movies. But no, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the Avengers. When it says that God is an avenger, it's saying that God is the one who will be able to judge and our sins. Okay. So another reason that we should have self-control of our bodies is we know that one day we will be judged before God for our sins and for how we have lived in this life. So it's another reason that Paul gives. Finally, there's one more reason. Read verse 7. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So another reason that Paul gives for us to have self-control is that if we don't do so, then we end up disregarding, or in other words, ignoring the Holy Spirit. You see, when we became a Christian, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And this is God with us. God, as the Holy Spirit, is guiding us and leading us to discern between right and wrong. The Holy Spirit is the one who can be able to help us to have self-control and to walk in holiness. But if we don't have self-control, then we end up disregarding or ignoring the Holy Spirit. So here's another reason for us to have self-control. So these are reasons that we need to know why we can have self-control. So again, to answer our second question, how can we effectively walk in holiness? We can effectively walk in holiness because it requires us to have self-control. So I want to encourage everyone to take some time to really identify what are those struggles in our lives that are hindering our walk in holiness and hindering our walk to please God. No, ask God and the Holy Spirit to help you to have that self-control over your body so that you don't give into sin. Ask God to be the one to provide for your desires so that you don't have to turn for them in sinful practices. And again, recognize that self-control is so necessary for us to walk in holiness. Finally, as we continue on to the last part of this passage, I believe that we can answer one more question. So here's our third question. What is the motivation behind walking in holiness? So we know what does it mean to walk in holiness. We know how we can walk in holiness, but now we won't be able to do so if we don't know what is the motivation behind this walking in holiness. So again, what is the motivation behind walking in holiness? I'll give you the answer to this one right away. Walking in holiness is motivated by a love for God, for believers, and for non-believers. So again, walking in holiness is motivated by a love for God, a love for believers, and a love for non-believers. So how's it motivated? By a love for God. So we can be motivated to walk in holiness, really, if we love God. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." So if we keep God's commandments, if we obey God, then it shows that we love God. So by obeying God's commandments, it shows that we also have to be the one who is having self-control over our bodies, and then as a result, we become people who walk in holiness because we love God. So not only should it be motivated by a love for God, our walk in holiness should also be motivated by a love for believers. Let's return back to our passage here. Start reading from verse 9. Paul says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do so to do this more and more." So here, we can be motivated to walk in holiness if we have a love for one another, a love for other believers, other brothers and sisters. This love here described is a filial love. So the Greek word is Philadelphia, and it literally means brotherly love. And this is why, you know, in the city of Philadelphia, that's why it's called the city of brotherly love. And here, Paul, he urges the Thessalonians to love one another more and more. And this sounds very familiar. Look at the end of verse 10. "But indeed, this is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you," so we see urging again, brothers, to do this more and more. So they're urging their brothers to love one another more and more, just as they're urging their brothers to walk in holiness more and more. So this shows that there's a relationship between love and holiness. There's a relationship between walking or living in love and walking and living in holiness. So this is why we can have, if we have a motivation to love one another in the church, in believers, then we can be able to walk in holiness. And finally, in the rest of this passage, we see that we can have a love for non-believers that will help us to walk in holiness. Start from verse 11. "And aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and to be dependent on no one. So to summarize, we can be able to walk in holiness if we have a motivation to love outsiders, to love non-believers. So this type of love is a societal type of love. So in the Thessalonians context, in verse 11, we see how they love the society. Verse 11 says, and to aspire to live quietly. So essentially this means aspire to live in restfulness. To live in restfulness. Live a less frantic life, or else you will end up bothering a lot of people and bothering yourself as well. And you become distracted from what you should be doing in your walk in holiness towards God. So here it says to live quietly, in other words, to live in restfulness. Continuing on, it also says, and to mind your own affairs. Essentially, Paul is directly telling them to mind your own business, really. Because if we focus on the affairs of other people, again, this is a context of basically bothering other people, again. And doing so is not a type of love that is reflected in Christ. And then finally, the last part, and to work with your hands as we have instructed you. So to work with your hands means to be dependent on no one. As you work, earn your own money. Earn your own things so you can be able to provide for yourself. And again, not bother other people. This is a way in this context to love societally. Because as we do this, like in this context, in the Thessalonian culture of the Greeks, you know, working for yourself and working to provide for yourself is an important virtue. So these are all examples of societal love. And what is the reason? We see the so that in verse 12. So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So the reason why we love God, the reason why we love believers, the reason why we love outsiders and other non-believers is so that we can walk properly, in other words, walk in holiness towards God and be able to glorify Him. So again, answering question 3, what is the motivation behind walking in holiness? So walking in holiness is motivated by a love for God, believers, and non-believers. So no, in this life, there are many hard and tedious tasks that we have to do. But why do we still end up doing these hard and tedious tasks? Why do I keep on changing my baby's dirty diapers, even though it's so smelly, and I have to wake up in the middle of the night to do it a lot of times? Because I love my daughter. Why do I keep on remaining faithful to my wife? Because I have a love for Joyce. Why do I spend so much time serving in the church and studying God's word? Because I have a love for God. Or just think of other examples. If you have a very good friend who, let's say, got sick and missed a day of class, why would you go through the trouble of sharing your notes with them and making sure they get what they have missed from class? Well, because they're your close friend, it shows that you love them. See, we can think of many examples where there's hard and tedious tasks, but yet we are able to do so and go through it because of our motivation to love someone. So likewise, we can be motivated to walk in holiness, no matter how hard it can be, no matter how many struggles that we can go through, no matter what trials, no matter what the temptation is, we're able to do so because we are motivated by a love for God, a love for other believers, and a love for non-believers as well. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, you see the two greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So two greatest commandments, love God and love others. And these are related to the importance of walking in holiness because love should be our motivation to walk in holiness. But where does this love come from? What is the source of this love? In John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Or in Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So in other words, because God loved us first, then we are able to love him and love others. And because we are able to love, then we are able to walk in holiness. So we see a connection. Loving God, or because God has loved us, we are able to walk in holiness. So as application, I ask you, do you love God and do you love others? Whenever we struggle in our life as we are walking in holiness, then I want you to think about, who do you love? Reflect upon whether you love God, whether you love other people, because this will be the source. This will be the motivation to help you to walk in holiness. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 12. Again, we answer three main questions. The first question, what does it mean to walk in holiness? And we said that walking in holiness is a lifelong process of living to please God as we repent of our sins and as we ask God for forgiveness. Then we move on to our second question. How can we effectively walk in holiness? And we said that walking in holiness requires self-control. So effective walking in holiness requires a self-control of our bodies so that we don't give in to our lusts and our passions. That's like people who do not know God, but because we do know God, and because we have this hope in Christ, we're able to have this self-control. And finally, as we said, question number three, what is the motivation behind walking in holiness? And we said that walking in holiness is motivated by a love for God, a love for believers, and a love for non-believers. So as Christians, we all have the ability to be able to walk in holiness towards God for our whole life. And again, we have the hope to do so because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He provided us with salvation. He defeated death. He defeated all sin. Satan won't be able to hinder our walk because we are standing firm in hope in Christ. So let us encourage one another. And not only that, let us urge one another to continue walking in holiness, or in other words, living in holiness, so that we can walk towards our Master and please God. Let us bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have so much to praise you for. Lord, I pray that this word that you've spoken to us today will give us hope, will give us motivation. Thank you for teaching us about hope and holiness. Lord, maybe some of us are here today and we are really struggling. Maybe there is a particular sin or particular temptation that we can't seem to overcome, and we feel so overwhelmed by Satan's attacks. But Lord, help us to know that we are able to continue to walk in holiness. You provide us with our desires. You provide us with a way of escape. You are our Lord. And Lord, for those of us who are doing well, we are walking in holiness, may we be urged, may we be encouraged to continue to do so all the days of our life, because this pleases you. And may we encourage other people to do so as well. Lord, I ask that you would continue to be with us. Show that you will never leave us or forsake us. You created us, you loved us, and you provided us with salvation through Jesus Christ. We want to worship you because of it. And because of your love, we're able to walk and live in holiness. Father, we want to praise you and lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.